Turn to Galatians, please. We are in a series on Galatians. The others are online at Grace Christian Center. What is it? GraceChristianCenter.us. Wrong Way Galatians. This is part four. We've spoken about the different images of the football player who rang the wrong way, the guy who was driving down the highway the wrong way. You can find them. But did you know this is written to the churches in the area of Galatia where Paul birthed these churches? And they had begun to listen to Judaizers who had tried to tell them, you need a more complete salvation. Jesus alone is not enough. You have to have the law of Moses. You must become a Jew in order to become a Christian. And Paul is leading you astray. We gave you 3 points as patterns. If you will devalue the truth, you will despise the teacher. And you will end up denying the master. It's a framework on which this whole book is written. And Paul spends his first chapters dealing with the fact that he had a supernatural calling from God. His commissioning was from God. And he had a good relationship with the apostles. But what he got came from revelation. Now, what you believe determines how you live. What you believe determines how you live. What you consider, what you determine, what you think on, what you dwell on, what you hold tight to in your belief will lead you to what you do. We all know people who are simply convinced that something where you might have experienced a real great time doing something, they're convinced it's either wrong or they're going to be killed or something. They're not going on that boat. They're not going somewhere. It's just a belief inside their heart of hearts that gets very controlling. So basically, the question this morning is, what do you let into your heart and mind? You're making choice every day, all day. What do you let into your heart and mind? I want to talk about something fascinating here for a couple of minutes. I want to talk about psychological warfare. Anybody ever heard of that? PSYOPs? Psychological warfare? So psychological warfare is getting you, or the opposing army, if you will, or the country, or the people, to believe something that isn't true. A book was written by a man named Daniel Lerner, who is now or became part of the CIA. He wrote a book called Psychological Warfare Against Nazi Germany, and in 1949 was when he wrote the book. And he said this statement, credibility is a condition of persuasion. Before you can make a man or a woman do as you say, you must make he or she believe what you say. You can't send them to do something until they believe what you say. 1944, it was February. Overlord was the plan to storm the beaches of Normandy and to begin D-Day and overrun Germany and deal with the chaos that had consumed the world. Overlord planners at Supreme Allied Headquarters formulated a plan called Operation Fortitude South. And it was all about deceiving the Nazi commanders that the real massive army was going to come offshore, onto shore, at Calais rather than Normandy. And although the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops consisted of only 1,100 soldiers, the contingent used dummy tanks, dummy artillery, fake aircraft, and giant speakers that were set up to broadcast the sounds of men and artillery to make the Germans think that they were upwards of 30,000 soldiers, and the unit used elaborate ruses to get the German units to send their resources and people to the wrong place and split their forces. So they had to stay at the wrong places and not just come to fortify, where actually Adolf Hitler and others believed that the Allies were going to land. They believed they were going to land in Normandy. But all of this ruse and psychological warfare took place, so they had to split their resources at Calais and other places. Now, maybe I'm pronouncing that wrong. Who knows how to, a better pronunciation to that? Is that correct? Okay, nobody knows. Folks, it's pronounced Calais. But look, they're able to pick up the tank. They're able to pick this up. This is the patch or the emblem. It was called the Ghost Army. Anybody ever hear the Ghost Army? Yeah, the Ghost Army. So it was all about getting them to believe something that wasn't true. Why? What's the result of this? Then the result was get the enemy to waste resources, split attention, and not fully prepare for the real target. And that's what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to split your resources. He wants you to think something that's not true. He doesn't want you to be a danger to the devil's kingdom. He wants to neutralize you. So you don't believe the power that you've got. You don't believe you've got the strength he's given you. And it's psychological warfare. It's an intentional use of propaganda, tactical use of propaganda, threats, and other non-combat techniques during wars, threats of conflict, other times of unrest, and it is designed to demoralize, to mislead, to intimidate, or otherwise manipulate the thinking or the actions of an army. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many in here are part of the army of God? How many soldiers are on the battle line to take the kingdom of God to the ends of this earth? How many soldiers signed up for full-time battle, full-time warfare, knowing that Jesus has the victory, but we bring him to this earth as the kingdom of God is in heaven? We bring to this earth. Wherever you go, the grocery store, the place where you work, the place of school, everywhere you go, you take the presence of Jesus. But if the devil can work hard enough to convince you you haven't got the goods, he can shut you down so nobody hears the good news of Jesus. It happens, doesn't it? The enemy of your soul wants to mislead, demoralize, intimidate, and manipulate you. What does he want you to do? He wants to lead you into thinking what you're not. I want you to all read this with me, please. Thinking what you're not instead of what he's got and who he is inside of you. Selah. Think about that for a moment. And isn't that the crux of condemnation and shame, temptation to get you neutralized and out of the way? You know, they used to say, and they still do, I'm sure, in warfare, if they would wound a soldier, it would be more effective toward decimating the forces you might be with more effectively than if that soldier was killed. You know why? Because it takes a whole bunch of people, or several people, to carry that soldier off the battlefield to safety. So it was a warfare tactic. And the devil brings warfare against you, tries to bring the fiery darts of the enemy to condemn you, to shame you and me, to make us think we're not, when it's instead what he's got and who he is inside of you. Turn to each other and say, Jesus lives inside of you. If you haven't given your life to Jesus yet, then that can be true by the end of the service. You know, give your life to Jesus. But let me ask you guys, come on, let's make this real. Anybody been discouraged this week? Anybody been down this week? Anybody seem defeated this week? Or maybe ashamed this week? Or anybody been condemned this week? Oh, come on, I'm not looking at perfect people yet. There's got to be somebody in the room who has felt some of those things. Come on, the honesty is. That's the tactic the devil wants to use to get you off the battlefield. Fear over finances? Fear over your health? Can't get victory over sin? Maybe it's body shaming. How many are in perfect condition in this room? Only Jerry. Jerry raised his hand. The shame that we feel. We think of ourselves in relationship to the pretty people on television or movies who need the Jesus you've got. Fear. Can't get victory. Mental shame. I don't have what it takes. If your car is stuck in neutral, it won't go. Now, we've got a Chrysler van, minivan. Great vehicle. Love riding in it. And it's got a dial thing instead of a gear shift thing. You know, it's all changed, you know. You see the things on Facebook. You remember the step things you used to step on, the pedal, the little button. Remember what that was for? What was that for? For the lights. And this doesn't do that. And the gear shift knobs, you know. Or how many had manual shifts or still have manual shift cars? Anybody? Yeah, a couple of you still have manual shift cars. Those were cool. Those were fun. I learned how to drive a manual shift car on the hills of Seattle. And the only fun part was when people would come right up behind me. Oh, my gosh. Sweat beads. Anyway, but you know, now we got a rotary dial for a gear. So I'm getting ready to go, and the car started, and it's great. So I put it into gear and start putting on the engine and putting on the gas, and I go, and I got no go. And I look down. It's because I'm in neutral. Engine roaring, but got no power. The engine roars, but the devil loves it when you got no power. What you believe determines how you live. If you listen to the wrong voice, and if you believe the lie, there is no victory. Come on, church. If you listen to the wrong voice, if you believe the devil's lie, there is no victory. And that is why Paul is so jealous over the Galatians brothers and sisters who he's taught and brought into freedom and grace, freedom in Jesus Christ, freedom by the power of the cross, and they're beginning to believe something that's not true. They're beginning to believe the lie. And not only did they shift into neutral, they've shifted into reverse, and they're going back away from what God birthed them into, which was liberty and life and forgiveness and mercy and grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of those things are working for them. And then the Judaizers come along and say, oh, no, no, you don't have the real stuff. You need a better way of salvation. You need to keep the law of Moses. Somebody look at me and say along with me, phooey. There's a deep intellectual word, see? Phooey. I'm going to remember the murder of crows against the eagles. Now, I know some of you love crows. No problem. I like them too. But the murder of crows, a group of crows who want to get the eagle away from their nest and away from their young, they will attack him. They will vomit on that eagle. They will poop on the eagle, projectile stuff flying through the air to cover that eagle with that refuse. So they bring the eagle out of flight and neutralize it. And that's what the devil loves to do with you and me. You're no good. You did it again. You're rotten. You'll never make it. Who do you think you are? And Jesus says, you're my son, you're my daughter, you're redeemed by my blood, and you're washed clean, you're holy, and you're righteous, and the penalty that was put against you is gone in Jesus' name. Paul says, are you still in the faith, Galatians? Because you've not just gone into neutral, you put the car in reverse. So how are we supposed to live? We're supposed to live by his faith. Live by his faith. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 2. On your tablet, on your phone, there's Bibles in the back if needed. I want you to see it. I know I went over these verses last week, a couple of these verses. Then we're going to go on to Galatians 3. But Galatians 2, verses 20 and 21, you'll see them up here as well. New King James, Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Come on, say that with me. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So because of all this good news, the next verse says, I do not set aside, the King James says, I don't frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. If through the law it comes, Jesus didn't have to die. The Judaizers that want you to believe you've got to keep all this law in order to get justified, in order to go on with God, they would say that Jesus Christ didn't need to go to the cross. But God himself sent Jesus to the cross to save you and me. Someone say, thank God. He knows what we need. Live by his faith because he's inside of you. Know that he loves you. Come on, guys, look at me and say, that may be elemental, but what's the reality? He loves me. Say it with me this morning. Jesus loves me. Now turn to each other and say, better than he loves you. That's for sure. I used to do that ages and ages ago. We'd talk about Jesus loves me. She'd turn to me and she'd say, he loves me more than he loves you. Nah, 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 nah. No, he loves you. He loves me. Okay, thank you. He gave himself for you. Jesus gave himself for you. Don't frustrate his grace. Don't frustrate his grace. That word frustration. Don't put the car in neutral. Don't put the car in reverse. Put the car in go and go for it in Jesus. Don't set it aside. Don't disesteem. Don't neutralize or violate the Word of God. Don't annul the Word of God. Don't disannul the Word of God. Don't frustrate him. Don't bring it to nothing or not. Devalue the truth. You'll despise the teacher. You'll deny the master. Jesus did all this so you and I could walk with him in victory. Reject foolish frustration. I'm going to read the scriptures. You have them open. I'm not going to put them all up here. Galatians 3, 1 through 9. Galatians 3, 1 through 9. I want you to hear what the Word of God has to say. I'm going to read it out loud from the New King James. Oh, foolish Galatians. Paul goes on with this whole heart being expressed. And he's looking at his sons and his daughters in faith as he writes this to them. He has them in his mind's eye. And he says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? That's a witchcraft word. Who has put a cast of spell upon you? Who has put a witchcraft kind of curse on you that you would turn away from the truth? That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes, your eyes, Jesus Christ, was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Of course not. Or by the hearing of faith? Of course. When you responded in faith to Jesus Christ, he put his Holy Spirit within you. Someone say amen. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? How many are going to perfect yourself by all your hard works? Not going to happen. Have you suffered so many things in vain? You've gone through suffering for the cause of Christ. Are you now going to say that was meaningless, empty, vain? Verse 5, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now watch, verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. We've all heard those stories, those Bible stories from the time when they were children. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. Father of our faith, right? He believed God. And that's what made him righteous before God. Because he believed him. God said, go out from this nation, I'm going to give you a new land. Look up in the sky. I'm going to give you more seed than the stars in the sky, than the sand on the ground. And Abraham believed God. And God said, that's righteous. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. What's he saying? So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Judaizers, now look, just so you get the context here. Judaizers are saying, you guys got to go back to the law of Moses. You got to teach, you got to believe, you got to hold on to the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses if you're really going to get saved. That gives you more complete salvation experience. That's what you need. Paul steps up to the plate and said, hold on. We're going to go back centuries before the law of Moses. We're going back to Abraham because you stop the Judaizers in their track. The Jews believe in the covenant of Abraham. The Jews believe they only have that land by Abraham's promise. And Moses said, we're going to go back centuries before that. And Abraham was accepted by faith. And the Bible says, the Old Testament says, all the nations of the earth, meaning Gentiles, are going to be saved and accepted by that faith. So I'm going to trump the Judaizers by going back centuries before. Now, centuries before, in Genesis 15, Abraham is accepted by faith because he believes God. You know what happens a couple of chapters later? He doesn't get circumcised until he's 99 years old. He doesn't, if you want to hold on to the law of Moses, he doesn't do what they're trying to tell you to do in the law of Moses until the man's 99. He's already been accepted by faith, and out from that faith walk with God springs the next steps that take him on. But Paul points back to Abraham, not to Moses. Okay? That's context. That's what it's all about. If you're trying to keep the law, trying to get saved by the law, if you're trying to do that, you are living under bondage. And I'm here to tell you the truth this morning. I don't hesitate to put you in remembrance of present truth, of important establishing truth according to the Word of God. May not be as sexy and exciting as my preaching 15 fresh points hot off the griddle that'll curl your toes on the book of Revelation. But it's the most important foundation stone you've got to have in your inventory. What really gets you saved? You are saved by grace through faith. And that's not just initial salvation. That's your ongoing walk with God. Does that allow you the liberty to go sin? No. Because of that transforming grace, we don't even want to go to sin. We want to go to life in Jesus. Turn to each other and say, I want life. How about you? So church condemnation's power is broken in the name of Jesus. Come on, say it with me. Condemnation's power is broken in Jesus. He broke it at the cross. He paid for your sin. He paid for mine. There is no more shame. You are free to put the car in drive and go. You are free to release the power of that engine and go. Go on and fulfill His will. Do His calling. Free to minister, free to soar like the eagles, and free to reach out with His kingdom, free to declare and rejoice in His good news, because He has freed you. So what I'm after this morning, I want you to see who He is and how complete it is what He's done. And I want you to see who He is inside of you. Say with me, I am free. In the name of Jesus. I got no shame. Now, you shouldn't go around saying that to people, I suppose. I got no shame. Come on, say it with me. I got no shame because of Jesus. I'm not condemned because of Jesus. Sin is gone because of Jesus. I'm full of go power because of Jesus. I'm not in neutral. I'm not in reverse. Jesus is my engine. And I'm going to let Him roar. Stand with me in Jesus' name, would you? So don't live in foolish frustration. Live by faith in Jesus' name. Let's go back to the first song we sang. Oh, Lord God, there is nothing impossible with Him. So if you're here this morning and you're living in shame and condemnation, Jesus wants to set you free. If you've not given your life to Him, do it today, man. The best life there is to live is this life in Jesus. He's full of life and power, and He's given you freedom, and me too, because He is so good. How many know God is good this morning? Do you believe that? Then get excited about it. Amen. Father, I pray for your people this morning that we will leave this place knowing that you are so good, so powerful, and you have redeemed us and set us free. We thank you that Paul wrestled against the Judaizers in order to make sure we had the truth, which is that what you did was complete for us. We love you so much, and we thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Strengthen each one this morning, I pray. I'm going to share one more verse with you, because I believed, as I was late at night and early in the morning in prayer, I believe there's someone in this room, maybe several, who are really wrestling with shame and condemnation, and Jesus wants you to be set free. And there's a verse He wants you to know of, and it's in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 49, and it's verse 16. And He wants you to hold on to this one. It says, "See, I have inscribed you," King James says, "graven you on the palms of my hands." When God looks down on His hands, He sees your face and your name. And He is not shaking you out of His hands. He's embracing you. And I want you to go with that confidence and that knowing this morning. If you're clean by the blood of Jesus, He's got His hands on you. And in fact, you're in His hands. Lord, we thank you for the good news of who you are and what you do. And we leave this place by faith this morning because you are so good. Raise your hands for the blessing, please. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians 6, verse 18, "Finally, my beloved ones, may the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, be flowing in your spirit. So shall it be. In Jesus' name, amen." God bless you. Be released.